Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Secret Word is coming up at 4:20.
Ooh.
Your chance to win tickets to see Tool and Guns N' Roses. We will give you the secret word. When you hear it, text that to 206-803-ROCK. All right? 4:20 is the time coming up. Our question, what did you or someone you know get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick text there. It says, okay, nothing crazy, but I scan every other item when I'm doing self-checkout at Walmart and Walmart only.
Well, that's stealing.
It is. But mm-hmm. Do they not have the thing that goes off if you know what I mean?
I don't know. Self-checkout, they lose so much money out of that thing.
Do they? Because anytime I go to self-checkout, well, if I go to self-checkout, I'm with my wife. That's what that means. But two, it could be Home Depot, average grocery store, there's typically somebody standing there kind of watching.
I only do it when I have one or two items. Or it's too full, but I just have a handful of things. It's the only time I ever use it.
I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice.
They'll close everything.
Right. You just self-checkout. But you're right. There's somebody standing there, but it's so hard to tell. That's why it's like, I've always wondered, like, I'm sure somebody had. I guess the numbers work out, but it's like, wouldn't it be cheaper to pay actual employees than have all that theft?
I don't know.
I mean,
I've done it by mistake, but I've never done it. Now, that said, I have shoplifted before there was ever self-checkout. Like, I have shoplifted, right? There you're just mm-hmm. at your beds, but self-checkout, for whatever reason, I feel more self-conscious about it. I feel like when you're in self-checkout, I feel like the entire world is watching you right now. Is this person honest enough? I don't know why that is. But if it were just cashiers, I'm like, I'm going to steal that. Like, I'd feel more confident just doing that.
But with a real cashier?
With a real cashier.
Oh, no.
I don't know why that is. Yeah. I don't know why.
There's no point anymore of even an employee calling somebody out for stealing. Because you can't do anything about it. You walk right out. They don't. Nobody, like, it's ridiculous. Some woman, like a Dollar Tree or whatever, mowed down this dude.
Yeah, I saw that.
Took off on a bicycle or something. He was fine, you know, spilled all the stuff, and she picked it all up and brought it back. But they fired her ass.
Yeah, they fired her.
Like, you know, wait. Yeah, that's above and beyond. I realize you should not take the law in your own hands, but at the same point in time, what are you supposed to do then in that situation? And the answer is,
but are you taking the law into your own hands if you're preventing someone from stealing something? Because in theory, cops don't show up until you've called them, and typically the crime has already been committed, right? So, like, cops don't, like, prevent you from doing anything. They don't pull you over because they think you might speed. They got you because you're speeding. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't investigate a homicide because no one's dead yet. They just think someone in the house might die. I mean, like, mm-hmm. a crime has happened.
Somebody comes into the 7-Eleven. I'm behind the counter, right?
Yeah.
They put a gun to my face. They take all the cigarettes they want. They take all the cash out of the drawer.
I like your thoughts. Cigarettes and cash.
Yeah, whatever they want, you know? Bigots. 12-pack of beer. Okay, they're stealing that stuff.
Right.
Now, if he's got a gun in my face, if somehow you're able to disarm him and beat the hell out of him, is 7-Eleven going to fire you? And I think the answer is no.
7-Eleven, I say no.
No. You're defending yourself. You're defending the property.
Ted, quick no.
You're an employee. It's not a cell phone business.
Also, like, I don't know. I don't got to say which ones, but I work for some giant company like that. Like, I'm not taking, like, that. I don't care. Take it.
No, yeah, I'm not saying
like,
I would.
It's annoying. I don't like seeing it, but also, if you're going to get in trouble for it, and also, like, what do you care? Like, at the end of the day, this is where we're kind of getting to. Like, what do you care?
Mm-hmm.
right? It's not your company. It's not like they're going to pay you more for stopping a bad guy.
Well, sure, but I worked at restaurants where I stopped someone from stealing the food. I did it because that's the kind of guy I am. It did not help me. It did not benefit me, but I didn't give it a second thought. It's like, brother, this is going to be a problem. You can put it down. We can break your arms. Up to you. You get a choice, which is cool. Then the cops were called. Then he was arrested. But they didn't just show up and say, that brother's going to steal the ribs. Although, if you said, guess which one of these people are going to steal ribs? Like, that brother that stole the ribs.
And don't get me wrong. If I worked at a restaurant or a store that's like one or two, I think that's different. Right. I'm saying, some of these stores are so massive, like, I at this point, like you're almost going to get in more trouble for doing anything.
Yes, it's exactly. Like,
let him go.
Mm-hmm. I just think some people instinctually do that. Like someone like my dad, wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? He could work at Amazon. If he tried to steal something, he would kill you. He would realize he's going to get in trouble later. But, you know, it's the instinct. You know, fight or flight or
right.
Freeze.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
There's a few of them. Freeze is finally being recognized. Used to always be fight or flight.
I like being recognized. Those of us who just freeze and kind of panic silently. We're in here. I did not run away. I did not stop anything. I'm just standing here going.
I'm just looking around.
Ooh, I don't like this.
Well, for years, people just said fight or flight. And it's like, most of the time, the average person is just going to freeze.
I want to have.
What's the one where you take your phone out and film it?
Right. And film. Keep it all out.
I don't know what that one is.
Fight, flight, freeze or film, or just freak out.
Start dancing.
Right.
Start break dancing.
He's stealing stuff.
That'll throw him off. What did you or someone you know get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jimbo. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Hola.
Hola. So this is going on 30 years ago. I was working at a fish and chips place, not Ivers, and at a bingo hall where they did no inventory and you had to ring everything up by the price.
Now wait.
Like point of sale.
Was this a fish and chips and bingo hall like combination place?
No. I guess it's been long. I mean, it was Skipper's.
Ah, okay. All right.
All right. And then I had two jobs. That's when I worked 80 hours a week when I was young.
Fish and chips and bingo. Yeah. I was like, God damn, that's a hell of a place.
Really? That's what I thought too.
Shredded
fish and chips out of a bingo hall.
Yeah.
You never know, though.
You mark your squares with Tartar.
Yeah.
So they had no inventory at the bingo hall, and they sold cigarettes. So on every break, I would take two or three cartons of cigarettes to the restroom, and it's right when they started putting the pumps in the back of the toilets where the tank goes.
Yeah.
And I would just load those up with cartons of cigarettes, and my buddy would come in a couple times a night and remove them with his backpack. Also, I would fail to ring up a lot of things at the register and just keep track of how much that added up to, and I counted down the till at the end of the night. So that was about $250 a night there.
I would not ring in pizzas and Uno's just because I'd take them to all the roommates, and I did steal my VCR, my very first VCR from Chi-Chi's. I worked there. Made it easy.
And then at Skipper's, after about 7 o'clock at night, the other guy that worked there didn't like to run the drive-thru, so I was the only one with a headset. So I would fail to ring in the orders there and just collect the cash there also. And also, I may have been getting rid of some green through the drive-thru.
I just assume that's the case, man. I mean, is there any easier way? I mean, there's a McDonald's downtown.
It's one-stop shopping. You get your fish and chips.
And you just want to go. You know, there's a McDonald's downtown that I don't even know that they serve food. Right? Like, people go there to buy their drugs all the time. It's been that way since we've been here, sort of 18, 20 years, whatever. It has not changed. It's not going to change. But as much as I don't care, I just feel like, man, your guts here, walking into the place, doing your transaction walk, at least the drive through, you know, they hand you a bag.
Yeah.
You're in your car. No one can really see. And you can just drive the hell off.
Just can't have any fries.
I mean, my buddy Leon, he worked at McDonald's for most of the time I knew him. He was slinging drugs, same time. I mean, but that was the deal. He's like, look, man, the McDonald's I work at are in effed up neighborhoods. Everyone slings drugs there anyway. But with the McDonald's, they come and get like two cheeseburgers, but they would also get Coke, weed, whatever it is that he was selling at that time.
That's called a Happy Meal.
Yeah, dude, I mean, he did it constantly. Constantly. I mean, it's what he did. It supplemented his income.
Can I get a quarter pound
Yeah. Quarter pound herb.
With the cheese. What did you or someone you know get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803-ROCK.
I think also, too, certain places you work are going to have a... Right? Like, I worked in bars.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of expected you're going to give away some drinks.
No doubt.
I will also say I have friends that got fired from bars because they gave away way too many drinks.
And that's the thing. Same thing. Restaurants, bars, it's kind of understood. Look, your buddies are going to come in. There is a certain amount that are kind of acceptable. You come in, like, they'll hook you up with a sandwich. We're not ringing it in. The boss sees me actively doing it. They understand. It's Ted. He's got a sandwich. He's got fries. The bartender gives you beer. Cool, right? You come in 7 days a week. Not cool. And that's just kind of, dude, like you said, every bartender I know, man, hey, man, this one's on me. Cool, thank you. But to your point, yes, there have been those people. Like, have you charged anyone for a drink? If you know them by name, are you charging anyone for a drink? Like, no, it's just what I do.
Well,
then you say, hey, what happened to so-and-so? It's like, buddy, you know what happened to so-and-so.
My buddy, he was a manager at a sub shop. Mm-hmm. And we would go out and bars closed at 2. That sub shop was like 3 blocks away. We're hungry. So we would go down there, and we would turn on the flat. We would turn on the deep fryers, which took about a half an hour.
Yeah, they got to warm up, sure.
So we'd sit in there. They had beer, so we'd drink the beer.
They had beer at the sub shop? Damn.
Hell yeah. It was college town. Hot subs, right. Cold subs.
Yeah.
We would take everything out, and I would make like 4 subs. That way I had enough food for like 3 or 4 days.
Right, that's the whole thing.
But
right.
There I would make a hot sandwich for myself.
Right, that for that night.
Steak and cheese or, you know, a hot Italian sub or something like that. Or if you wanted to, you could throw a big chicken breaded thing in the deep fryer and make a big chicken sub.
See, I feel like that's the way
shredded
to go.
Lettuce and some mayonnaise.
You got to take advantage of the deep fryer. Like, look, I understand restaurants have better quality stuff, but most of us don't have a deep fryer at home. So, yeah. Like, bro, grab some goddamn onion rings and french fries and put them in that.
That's exactly what we do.
Because I'm tired of baking my Orida crinkle-cut fries, man. Drop them in the deep fry.
At that point in time, mozzarella sticks were relatively new to my life.
That's one of my favorite snacks, man.
So that was basically what we would do. We would just go in there and make tons, and they cook fast. We'd make just tons of mozzarella sticks and eat them while we were making our sandwiches. And we were hammered. And we didn't leave there until like 3:30 in the morning.
Sure.
We just made enough food for a few days, and then for that night's dinner.
A few days, yeah.
Drink their beer, take everything out of the trash bag, take the trash bag home, so there's no evidence of, you know, all the wax paper between the cheese slices and all the things.
You have to get rid of that, yeah.
So
that's the giveaway.
All the beer cans, all that stuff, so we were very cognizant not to leave any trace, so to speak. Leave a zero footprint.
Yeah, that's all. And if I owned the place, that's all I had.
And he was a manager there for like 5 more years. So
that's my problem with airports, right? So if you go to the bar, if it's a bar that the bartender's familiar with you, when you ask, especially for a shot, you get a heavy pour, right? If they blow the keg, you get half of that beer, and after the change, they'll give you the full one. You go to the airport, man.
They take a jigger.
They got the little
I've seen that too, yeah.
And then also, even with the beer, it was not SeaTac, it was one of the random airports you're at, asking the guy about the beer, and he's like, man, we can't. I'm like, how do they measure a keg? He's like, it's on weights.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
You can measure.
They're on a scale, and especially at airports. I'm assuming it's a federal thing where they're real, real strict about it. But I've gotten a heavy pour once at an airport. One time in my life. Otherwise, man, it is measured exactly to that line.
It depends on how long you sit there.
This is true. Yeah. 3-hour layover. Yes, yes. It's a little heavier to go on.
Casinos are the same way, generally.
Are they?
They got those little things on the bottles that measure out exactly 1.5 ounces.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And there's only 9 million cameras on that one floor.
Yeah, right.
Just to prove it to be true. What did you or someone you know get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right. So, back in the 90s, I pretty much gave the entire 90s to methamphetamine. And I became someone who I just really wasn't, you know. Duh. But so one Christmas, it was around Christmas. I was heading home, and I drove by a car that was fully stacked with presents. So I doubled back and checked the car door, and it was unlocked. And so I started tossing all these presents into the beauty bed, and. You know, about that time I hear voices, you know, coming out the front door. So I dive into the beauty bed and I'm hanging out there like, oh, crap. And, so dad and mom come out. He's holding a little toddler and he realizes what's just happened. And he starts screaming into the darkness, you know, what a POS I am or, you know, whoever. And
No, it's you.
It's definitely you.
And I'm just feeling bad. You know, I'm just feeling pretty crunchy. So I stand up, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Here's your presents back, right? I'm like, ah, dude, sorry. And he looks at me, and he's like, oh, I don't know if I should punch you or shake your hand. Get the F out of here, man. And I'm like, dude, I'm out. I'm sorry. Out. Went home. You know, I went home, and I sat on my bed, and I was just really, who the hell have I become, and what the hell is going on in my world? And, you know, it wasn't the deciding factor on me quitting, but it definitely was great ammunition for cleaning up and getting my life together.
Well, yeah. Good, man. Was it the toddler that got you?
Well, yes.
Yeah, because yeah, look, yeah, man, Christmas for adults is
Christmas.
Here's a pair of socks you said you liked. Here's that iron that you said you needed. Kids, you know, this is like their world, man. And even toddlers, even though they have no idea what they're going to play with the box, still, man. So, well, I'm glad you at least stood up.
That was part of it, though. I had a son, you know, back at home that I couldn't provide freaking Christmas presents for because I was such a douchebag. You know, so I thought I'd just steal him some.
Jesus.
Dad, why do I have a box of Binkies?
I get it, though, man. I mean, when you're down on your luck, these are the things you do. But I'm glad that you stood up, right? Yeah. That's the difference between you and a lot of
other times. I am too, man. I am too.
That's crazy.
I am too.
And how old's your son now?
Oh, he's like 32, man. He's king of the world. He saw what Dad was. He's like, love you, bro, but I'm going to go this way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Good on him, man.
I will say,
he did.
It's kind of ironic because you said the 90s, right? I mean, like, that's like the heyday of methamphetamines, isn't it?
I don't know. Because we live, so living on the East Coast.
It was up and coming.
Yeah, living on the East Coast in the city, it was all crack.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't hear about meth. I mean, it was all crack all day, all the time. And then all the standard drugs. But meth, for me, it may have been the 2000s before I started hearing about it, but it still wasn't really, I'm pretty prevalent now, I think, but it just wasn't there. Like, crack was king.
No, it was huge out here in, like, the West Coast of Oregon.
When we moved here,
Dealers on the East Coast didn't have it. I mean, it was never offered.
The only time I had ever heard of it, honestly, was in like the gay clubs.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it. And then when we moved here, I realized, okay, meth is here where crack was there. Like, it's the standard cheap-ass street drug. And oddly enough, now, appearance-wise, look about the same. Behaviors are a little different, but like you can look at someone who's tweaking on meth and goes, all right, meth. East Coast, like when someone's flying on crack, like they're flying on crack, but it's amazing how similar everyone is on both of those drugs.
Yeah, I can almost at one point in time name every bar in Adams Morgan, and it was only for one reason.
Oh, picking up your drugs?
Yeah.
it was a great, good drug area, man.
Well, no, but I mean, it was just 18th Street's a fun area to hang out, too. I never did drugs. I went down there and partied and then ate a giant slice of pizza.
What did you or someone you know get away with up until you did or didn't? 206-803-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Well, speaking of Guns and Roses, tickets to both Tool and Guns N' Roses coming up with a secret word at 420.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that? Text it to 206-803-ROCK.
At 420, stop texting us right now.
Yes.
We didn't get the code word.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're just guessing.
You got to wait for the code word. And we don't pick you if you do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm in charge of picking. I'm the picker.
The picker?
Yeah. Our question, what did you or someone you know get away with up until you did or didn't? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Pam. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Okay, so I worked at Dollar Tree, and I found this receipt by my cash register one day that had my name signed on it. I didn't sign it. The assistant manager was doing voids, signing my name and getting the cash for him.
You turn them in?
I didn't have to. They figured it out on their own.
Okay,
but she got fired. So, I was mad because that's like four. That's like seriously a felony.
Yeah,
signing my name.
How long were they doing this?
That's a good question. I'd only worked there about a month and a half, so it couldn't have been too long.
Hmm.
But yeah, the fact that if she hadn't left that receipt laying there next to the till, I wouldn't have known.
Well, did they make you assistant manager?
No, funny enough, my ex-sister-in-law was manager of that store, and she started sleeping with my boyfriend, so I left that store.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Oh, your sister-in-law, so the woman married to your brother.
Yes.
Started sleeping with your boyfriend.
Yes.
So she's cheating on your brother with your boyfriend.
Correct.
Damn.
Did your brother find out?
Yes, here's karma for you. She ended up getting fired from that job and evicted from her house. Sad thing of it was, her father was the general manager for the entire area, so he's the one that had to fire her.
That's kind of poetic justice.
All right.
Now, who found out? Did your brother find out that she was sleeping with your boyfriend first, or did you find out that your sister-in-law was sleeping with your boyfriend?
I found out she was sleeping with him first.
Okay. That's awful strange for two siblings to be dealing with cheating partners at the same exact time, and they're cheating with each other.
With the same people.
It's crazy.
Your sister-in-law is sleeping with your boyfriend. So your brother's
wife is sleeping with your boyfriend.
Jesus, man.
That's a lot.
Right, so she's cheating on her brother with her boyfriend.
That is correct.
Good times. What did you or someone you know get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803-ROCK.
It didn't seem that crazy. I mean, it's bad, but I'm like,
just
right.
Proximity?
Proximity.
Yeah, that's probably it. Hello, Ezra. Welcome to the Men's Room.
How you doing?
Hola.
Hey, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm driving.
No, we can hear you.
For O'Reilly's.
We can hear you. We can hear you, brother.
I've had to cut you off. It's because I'm making delivery. I apologize. But the reason I'm calling, when I was about 15, 16, I was working for a shop co. I mean, I was shopping at Shopko, well, and they caught me for shoplifting. But the thing is, I felt so bad about it, and I told them that the probation officer forgave it to me, basically told me, took me to dinner, and then they said, well, clean straight, but if I see you again, we're going to have troubles. I said, okay, and I seen him, like, years later at a haunted house, and from that point, I never shoplifted again.
You said they took you to dinner?
Yeah, he did, yes.
You shoplifted and got a free dinner out of this?
Correct. And he told me I was supposed to find my own community service to find, and I couldn't find it because it's like, okay, I lived in Pocatello, he was in Chubbuck, which is kind of like, I lived in Seattle, and this place I stole would be like Renton.
Okay. All
this
right.
This was in Idaho.
Okay. All right. Well, and you never shoplifted again.
No, that was my last time.
Okay.
And like I said, I was grateful for that because, you know, I don't know what I would have been doing. I could have got shot or robbed something. So I was grateful. That I was actually grateful that they caught me when they did.
Hey,
but it was funny. They said they had the best security. But if they knew what I was stealing for the last year of that time, they would have. I was in there. I stole the boom box. I had a boom box that they had. I put their batteries in. I had their music in it. And the manager came up to me and said, "You need to turn that down." And I walked out with it.
Jesus.
Okay.
All right.
I like you, man.
I like Ezra.
That was intense.
Seems like a very honest dude.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the shoplifting thing. Yeah. I like the boombox move, though. Let me just put batteries in and turn it on. Hold it on my shoulder. I turned it down. Oh, my bad. I'll just leave.
What did you or someone you don't get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803 Rob.
Pretty smooth.
That's what I'm saying. He did not strike me as the guy that would have outsmarted me, but he would have outsmarted me in that moment.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Turn down the boombox. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll just leave. Yeah. Yeah. Then you realize that son of a bitch stole my boombox. that's a smooth move.
Yeah.
Hello, Dean. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola.
Right on. First time I've ever been on the radio. Awesome to get a hold of you.
Nice. Thank you, man.
You want to know what happened? Well, back in the late 70s, we were some heavy drinkers in high school, of course. Well, we used to follow around the beer truck, and we would wait for him to go into the taverns in the morning and make his deliveries. And we'd run up to the back of the truck, so they always used to leave it open. And we'd snag the beer. Well, we got tired of doing that. So we just decided to go down to the distributor where they had a galvanized walls, you know, galvanized roofing. That's what they had on the walls. Well, we did that for about a month. We'd just go there on weekends or whatever and unscrew them, go in there and load up the trucks, back the trucks up to the walls, load them up. And then we got caught. That's how I got my first felony. That sucked. And then,
yeah.
But then we graduated. We took the beer truck. We just said, screw it, took the beer truck. And as far as I know, it's still buried up in Grand Falls. We had beer for a long time.
Wow, man.
How did you bury a beer truck? With a backhoe?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was some good times back then.
Jesus.
I never got stopped for that one.
Ah, that's pretty heavy.
Well, it's still buried.
Still buried in Grand Falls.
By the way, on the text
line. I tell you what, man, no offense, but I don't know what the hell goes on up there in Grand Falls.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like.
I don't think I want to know.
Again, I dated a girl that lived in Machias, which is like deep outside of Lake Stevens. And they'd always be like, you don't want to go over to Granite Falls. I'm like, what in the hell goes on out there?
That's all over here. Like, I got there. By the way, a couple of texts came in. Now, a couple of people, Ezra, who just called.
Yes.
A couple of people work with him. They know him. And someone here, I won't go through it all, but someone says, he's so straight-laced, I can't believe he called on the clock. I'm going to give him so much hell for that call. Mm-hmm. So that's
what was he delivering?
I'm not sure. I don't know. He just said he's making deliveries, but people seem to have the same opinion. Like, it's a very straight-laced guy. Now, another text that came in says, what time are you leaving for baseball? So I responded, I'm not going. I'm tired of it, and I'm tired of you, too. Oh. I'll let you know what the follow-up is.
Okay.
I'm always curious. Look, I did it one time before, and like, we quote-unquote had an argument. I apparently was this other guy's girlfriend. He could not believe, because I was being very crappy to him about the fact that he had to work late, and he wanted me to start dinner. So I played her. He did not realize. I went on for like 20 minutes, and he finally figured it out. Found it very funny. He's just like, Jesus. And just to hear where he went and the language he started using, I'm like, this is awesome.
Nothing yet.
Yeah, so far, again, what time are you leaving for baseball? My response, I'm not going. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you, too. We'll see.
What did you or someone you know get away with up until they did or didn't? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. All right, so here is the deal. I used to be a DJ at McCabe's in Everett back when that was a thing. And one night I was leaving to go to a party. I got pulled over, and I was getting a DUI. So I got a DUI. I had to go to alcohol assessment to see if I was an alcoholic or not. I was, but I didn't want to do the assessment. So I called around, and all of these places would do drug tests. I couldn't pass a drug test because of pot. So finally, I found someone on the phone who said that I could basically pay her off and that she would make it so that I could pass my drug test and not get an alcohol assessment.
These are the people I like.
Yes, I appreciated that so much, but I didn't have the money to do it. So I had always seen this scam that I could do at work, but I never tried it. Our computer system was really old. I could ring in your entire order from the table, and it would tell me how much your bill would be, but I didn't have to service the check. I could just hit cancel.
All right.
So I would do that, and then I would give them really bad service to the point where they would slide their credit card to the end of the table, and then I could take the credit card, run it for the exact amount of the check, and that money would all go directly to me instead of the restaurant.
Oh, Jesus, man.
So that's how you paid to get out of the alcohol thing?
Yes, exactly. I made about like $1,000 in one weekend in tips, and normally I would make like $300.
Damn. Did you only do that the one time, or did you begin making this routine?
You start sharing things with friends, and before you know it, there's a whole network, and that's when you got to get out because things got crazy.
Yeah. That's why you keep your mouth shut, man. That's always my thing.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I get it. What, you can't share that. By the way, the earlier text, which I was leaving for baseball, I responded, not going, tired of it. Tired of you too. Very quickly said, sorry guys, love you guys, love your buddies. I said, sorry, I couldn't help myself. They said, I'm glad you did. I would have done the same. So it's good to know.
I was just worried there's some kid sitting on the couch like, Mom, I got to get to baseball.
Nah, not today. You know what, man? I didn't even consider that it could have been like an 8-year-old kid going, Mom doesn't love me. You're right. My bad. I just assume that it's an adult, Mr. Red. That could have been a kid.
I guess it could be. I just like, I don't know. Maybe they were talking about, but like Mariners aren't in town. So my mind just went to like, oh man, this kid's going to be late after run laps.
Yep.
What did you or someone you know get away with up until they didn't or did? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jane. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola. How's it going?
Hola.
So, my husband sued our slumlord and didn't tell me until many, many years later that it was all fake.
Wait, what? What's the situation? Explain to us what happened.
So we were moving out of our apartments and we needed a place to get into quickly. And we found this house and it was, you know, lead-based paint, really terrible, but it had 9 rooms in it. So I was like, well, we'll take it. We had like a bunch of roommates. We moved in. It had one bathroom, and in that bathroom there was a soft spot in the floor. And we had told the landlord, hey, we need it fixed so we can see where there was a water problem. There was like a cutout in the wall where they obviously had done some work on the bathtub. Well, then I get a call at work one day that my husband had fallen through the floor in the bathroom. And the roommates had to break the door down to get into him. And so I get home and the EMTs are looking at him. He's got a sprained ankle, pretty badly bruised. He's got a bruise on his face from the door smashing him in the face when they opened it. And I go to bat hard for my husband. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm done with this guy. He's freaking crazy. We had to have the cops follow us out of the town to our new place, follow us up to our new home. And this guy was crazy. So I go to bat for my husband. Well, years later, we're drinking, and he tells me that he actually stomped his way through the floor and then had his brother hit his leg with a 2x4 to make it look like he hurt his leg.
Oh my God.
What is your response when you hear this?
I mean, the guy deserved it.
did you successfully sue him?
We did. They helped us move into our new place.
Wow.
Damn. How much do you get out of that?
We got $5,500 after the lawyer's fees.
Okay. And how many years passed between your husband doing this and him telling you about it?
Oh, 5 or 6.
Okay. That's about the right amount of time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn. Well, it worked.
What did you or someone you know get away with up until they did or didn't? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, God. You guys are incredible. I listen to you every day, and I've been thinking about whether or not to call in on this story because there's a couple of guys that listen to this station going to know what I did or didn't do.
Okay. All right. Are you sure you want to go through with this?
Yeah, I do, even though I don't want to. Because every time I tell the story, I get butterflies in my stomach. It's not good. But and the reason is, a lot of people might notice this, because the car that I used to drive was a bright yellow Camaro. I mean, bright yellow back in the 90s. And a very distinctive engine that would come through the hood with two Holley 600s and a Meister gasket air scoop. And,
yeah, I think they're going to remember that. Yeah,
it was like a dragster.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and I was at a party down in the Tide Flats in Tacoma at one of the distributors there where they serve beer. A very distinctive party called a Brat Fry. And was drinking most of the day, and then it was time to leave, and a buddy of mine was in his truck, and everybody's looking at the car going, yeah, go ahead, peel out, give us a smoke show. Well, there was a state trooper parked across the street. And when I pulled out and gave the smoke show, he decided he was going to pull out, but my buddy pulled out at the same time, got in behind me. State trooper got behind him. He went to move over one lane. The trooper moved over at the same time, and at that point, I looked in my rear view, saw the lights went flying through a corner gas station doing about 60, and an old man with a cane stepped out from behind the gas pump. I almost clipped him, then went around the corner, and that's where all the semi-trucks were parked because it's the Tide Flats. And I parked in between two semi-trucks, like Smokey and the Bandit, think I was going to hide, you know. Walked into the store, and I heard one guy go, hey, you're that kid that was driving through here doing 60 miles an hour and almost hit somebody. I'm like, no, 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 that's somebody else. That's not me. So a couple other people started yelling, yeah, that's you. We see you now. And I put the coffee down on the counter and looked at the clerk and went, I got to go. So I got out in the parking lot and I kept hearing someone going, hey, kid, hey, kid. And I'm thinking, ah, crap, I'm busted. So I turned around and there's this Tucker standing there and he's got one sleeve all buttoned up. And so I'm like, you only got one arm. He goes, I tell you what, son, down about seven semi-trucks, there's a hole in the fence that you can get that car through. If I were you, I'd go through that hole and turn around and go up that hill and get out of here. So I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. So I back up, go through the hole, and get up, get to where I'm going, put the car cover on in my apartment complex, and one of the guys at the party calls me and goes, did the cops get you? And I go, no. He goes, that trooper pulled into the middle of the intersection, stopped traffic, stood on the top of his car looking for you. He goes, where did you go? I'm like, I parked the 210 with semi-trucks, man. I was trying to hide my car. Yeah, so that was a while ago, and I still have the picture of my car hanging on the wall in my office, and I get people come in and look at it.
Were you?
You go, hey, that's a nice-looking car.
Were you afraid to drive it for a while after that because it's so distinctive?
Yes, I was, because the license plate's also very distinctive, and I'm not going to tell you the license plate.
Bushman 69,
joint guy.
Yeah. No, but my son now, of course, you know, I was in my early 30s. My son just turned 17, and he's looking at that car, and he's like, I want to get a car like that. And I go, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
It's just trouble. All that horsepower, bright yellow. I don't know what I was thinking, but. Yeah, I still tell the story and I get butterflies thinking, God, if I had clipped that old man, my whole life would be different.
Good times.
I know what you were thinking when you got that car. I'm going to get ass.
Yep.
10 classic rock covers that went horribly wrong. Ryan Castle's coming up. We'll sit and spin next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.